He says that like I'm going to go all 25 minutes. But if you guys pay attention, I promise you that I'll be done quicker than that. I just want you to pay attention. And you may wonder when someone preaches and they say, if you pay attention or if you're watching up here or paying attention to what I'm saying, I'll be done quicker. And you say, that's not really true because if I don't pay attention, you're going to go just as long. But that's not really true because I have a mean streak. So if you don't pay attention or if you're goofing off, I'll just start telling stories that don't make any points or don't really have anything to do with anything and just waste your time, which I don't want to do. So please pay attention. Grab your Bible, turn to Luke 15. We're actually going to go through the whole chapter today. Really, it's a familiar chapter, or at least it should be to a lot of us. There's three parables told in this chapter that Jesus, you know what a parable is? It's a story that Jesus told to his disciples and to the people that were following him on earth to get a point across. It's almost like an illustration that he was given. When a preacher tells a story to make a point or tells a story, you get a little tear in your eye because it's a heartbreaking story. It's the same method that Jesus used. He's telling a story to make a point. And in this chapter, it's interesting because all three of them have the same purpose, you could say, or the same theme. It's all about something that's lost. It's all about something that's gone missing or gone astray or just is nobody knows where it is. We'll start off and we'll start reading in verse number 3 in Luke. It says, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, obviously that's Jesus speaking. He says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he hath found it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have lost my sheep which was lost. Or I have found my sheep which is lost. Kind of changes the point of the verse. I say unto you that likewise joy will be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Here Christ is telling a story about a shepherd that has 100 sheep. And he has those 100 sheep, and as he's doing a roll call or taking attendance of the sheep there, he's missing one. And the shepherd goes out into the wilderness searching for the one, and he finds that sheep. You know, the point of the story that Jesus is making is, you know, as human beings and as sinners like we are, we're just like that sheep is. We have a tendency in our nature to go astray. We have a tendency really to wander. And that's what we do as sinners. Even the song, Come Thou Fount says it wonderfully, Lord, take my heart, oh, take and seal it, because I'm prone to wander. Really, that's what we are as people, and you can notice it yourself in your own life. Yeah, I mean, you can see it if you examine yourself and you're honest with yourself. There are times in all of our lives, it doesn't matter if you're Pastor Donald or if you're a seventh grader in here, you have that tendency to be human and to just go astray. It's just the way it works as people. It happens. But there's something here that Jesus teaches about himself. Not only does he point to us and say, you know, as a person, you're prone to wander. As a person, you're prone to go astray. You're just going to go away like a sheep because you don't know any better. The sheep doesn't go away because he's malicious or because he hates the shepherd. He goes away because his nature is to just go off. His nature is to leave the flock, and that's the way we are. We may not hate Jesus, or we may not do things out of spite because we don't like God or get along with God, but in our nature, we're prone to wander. It's the way we are, and Christ points that out here in the story. He says, you know, you're prone to leave me. You're prone to go astray, to leave the flock of God, but as the good shepherd, as the scriptures calls him, he's prone to go after us. You know, we are prone to wander. But what's a wonderful, wonderful thing about Christ is he reclaims the wanderers. He reclaims those people that go off on the edge, that are off, that are far away from in his heart, in their heart. Though you're close with him here in church, your heart may be far away. And you know what's wonderful about Christ? He goes after your heart. He loves you so much that even though there's those 99 just persons or those sheep that don't go away, he goes after that one that goes away. So take that comfort with you today. You know, you can say, you can honestly look at yourself and say, I'm so bad at my nature that I'm prone to wander from God. But God's so good in his nature that he's prone to reclaim me, that he wants me back. See, what's wonderful about Christ is we can go as far away from him as we want to. But you know what he does? The second that we draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to us, as John says it. You know, all you have to do is shift your weight in God's direction, and he's going to come as fast as you can to get to you. He's as close as the mention of his name, as a songwriter puts it. If you look over in your Bibles in Isaiah, let me open up my phone here. I have it written down. I'm not going to make you turn there, but it says Isaiah 53:6. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. If you need any proof that God goes after those wandering sheep, not only take it here from Luke chapter 15, but take it from the life of Christ. You know, Christ, the whole reason he came to earth, you could boil it all down to Calvary. And what was Calvary all about? That was all about reclaiming the wandering human. Was to fix the issue that came up in the Garden of Eden when man placed a schism in between him and God and split the relationship off forever. God made sure that there was a way to be reclaimed. So we look at that there, and not only does that teach us a nature of us, it teaches us that we wander, it teaches us that God reclaims the wandering, but it also shows us how to live a little Christ-like. How to live a little Christ-like. Because what you're going to see over time, people that you look up to, people that are in your youth group, people that you know in your church or that you know from going around to youth rallies like you will in a couple of weeks, you'll see them go off. You'll see them go astray. Right. And you'll have a choice that you can make as a person. You can judge them for doing so, or you can live Christ-like and be a part of them being reclaimed. Be an encouragement to them. See, you're going to see as you grow up, and I've seen it myself. I grew up in a youth group a little bit bigger than this one. We had about 30 teenagers, anywhere from about like 15 to 30 teenagers. So I guess close to the size here. And I see it myself. I've seen people that I grew up with, people that I was close with, friends that I've had. I've seen them go astray. I've seen them make dumb choices. I've seen them do stupid things. I've seen them really mess up their lives. But there's a choice we can make when we see that. Either we can judge them and write them off, or we can be like Christ. We can make the choice to be a good Christian and be Christ-like and make a difference in their life. Make a difference in reclaiming them. Go after them. Be an encouragement to them. Make sure that they still feel loved, because you know what? When we go astray, that's exactly what Christ does. You know, Christ, we make it so. We really like putting God at odds with us. We like it that when we put God up in heaven and he's like a dictator, a tyrannical ruler, he's mean, he doesn't like sin, and he always is judging us. We love doing that because it makes more of an excuse for us to go astray. And that's not the way God is at all. God loves us even when we go astray. And even when we're not close to him in our heart, he still wants our heart. So first we see that in the chapter of Luke 15 about the lost, whatever, fill in the blank. We see that Christ, he reclaims the wandering and that we're prone to wander. Next story, let's move down to verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till he find it? And when he hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the place of the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in heaven, or there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. The next story that we read about a lady that has 10 pieces of silver. And she's got these 10 coins. That's her money for the day, for the week. It doesn't really say, but that's all she has. And then she goes to count her money, and she's missing that one piece of silver. That one piece of silver is gone, and what she does is she lights up the whole house. She goes to every room, lights a candle in the room, and she tears apart the whole house looking for one piece of silver. One piece of silver. She tears the whole house apart, and she goes, and she sweeps, and she moves everything around until she finds that one piece of silver. The reason why she did that is because without that piece of silver in her possession, it was just worthless. You know, there was no use for that piece of silver being stuck in the couch cushions or stuck underneath the carpet. There was no worth to it. And that's a lot of times the way we are. You know, there's not much worth if you are not being used by God. There's not much really any good. The Bible puts it that all our righteousness is like filthy rags. You know, in and of ourselves, we're not worth a whole lot. And that's just being honest. I mean, you're a great person. You're special. You're unique. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Don't let anyone ever discount you or put waste to you. You're special. You are. But in the grand scheme of things and in the plan of God, if we're not with God, there's not much He can do with us. If we're not in His possession completely, there's not much we can do with us. We really have no worth. Just like that piece of silver, when we're away or when we're hidden from God, when we're hiding things or hiding ourselves from the will of God, there's not much worth. It's just the way it is. There's not much He can do with us. But let me tell you this, that even though we're worthless, God redeems the worthless. And that word redeem is special because it brings back value is what it means. It restores the value of something. And how wonderful it is, we're worth a whole lot in the possession of God. Even though we're sinners, and even though we're unrighteous, and even though our righteousness is like filthy rags, we have worth to God. I love how the song puts it, that all I really have to offer is a broken life to God. Is a broken life. That's all I have to offer. But you know what's great? Is it's a priceless gift to Him. You know, more than anything, God wants to bring value to you. And if you feel those feelings sometimes that you're not worth a whole lot or you're not too good, let me tell you something. God designed you on purpose. God designed you specifically different from the person sitting next to you. And that reason is because God wants to use you in a special way. He wants to hear from you in a special way. He wants praise from you different than He wants praise from the person next to you because you're different. And how wonderful that is, that God brings value to us. So if you struggle with that, which I know a lot of teenagers do, and I did as a teenager, you don't feel too special, you don't feel too unique, you're still special to God. You're still important to God. You still have worth to God, even though we're sinners, and even though we don't always do right, and even though at our nature we're prone to wander, and even though there isn't a whole lot good about us, God still loves us enough to give us worth. And to go after us when we are worthless. And to do everything He can and go to the extreme to bring us worth. If you think about that, we can always look back to Calvary. And I love bringing every thought back to that. That God wanted so much for us to be worthy and to be important and to be special. He spared no expense in doing so. He thought of the most expensive program, the most expensive way to bring you worth. He gave of His own self. Think of that. God wrapped Himself in flesh and then died. The worst part of human life is that we died. And God did that so we could have worth. So that there was a worth established in us. And what does that teach us about being Christ-like? You know, that person that is maybe a little different, maybe a little strange, maybe a little weird, maybe smells a little funny, doesn't really take care of themselves. If you look at them like Christ does, you know that person is special. You know, God loves that person just as much as He loves you. You know, God loves that person just as much as He loves Pastor Donald or your preacher upstairs. God loves that person so much. That's what is so wonderful. Revealed here is, yes, we struggle for worth. We can be worthless. But God redeems the worthless. And then after that, He wants us to make sure we treat each other like we're important. You know, when I treat so-and-so like he's important, I'm not going to put him down. I'm not going to make fun of him. I'm not going to be mean to him because he's important to me. You know, when you have someone that's important to you, you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or you have a best friend, there's not a lot of time that you spend putting them down. Maybe jokingly, but not seriously. You're not going to always cut them down because they're important to you. And you want them to know so as so. We'll move it on. We'll go on and we'll finish up here. I promised you some time back, so I want to make sure that we do that. The next story is a little longer. It's really probably the most common story here. It's the story of the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. We'll start reading verse 11. It says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said, verse number 12 we're reading in, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. So the next thing that we see that Christ points out as being a sinner, what's in our nature is we could tend to be pretty wicked. We could be a wretch, really. Which, I mean, it's strong language. We could be pretty bad, is what I'm saying. You know, there's things that we do as sinners that are really contrary to our personality. There are things that we do that really are pretty far out there. I mean, look at the son here. He was living in his father's house, grew up in his father's house, and then he asked him, "Dad, give me my inheritance because I'm just sick of being here." You know, Dad, he's practically saying to his dad, I really wish you were dead. That way I could do whatever I wanted. I wish you had just died so I could go out and live the way I want to. And he got so sick of waiting for his father to die that he just asked for it. That's pretty bad. I wouldn't say that any of you in here would do that. But as sinners, that's in our nature. We can be wicked. Yeah. We can be pretty bad. But you know, it's wonderful. We'll read on. It says, we'll skip over 17 through 19. So read verse 20 with me. And it says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and it is alive again. He was lost and is now found. And they began to be merry." So we see that as sinners, we can tend to be pretty wicked. We can do things that aren't very good. But the wonderful thing about God, about Christ, is that even though that's us, even though we can be that way, he still receives us. He takes us into his own. He goes out like that father when we're, like I said earlier, when we are astray or when we are lost. As soon as we draw nigh to him, like that father, when we were a great way off, he went to him and grabbed him. You know, that's the way Christ is. Even though we can be pretty bad, God's pretty forgiving. How wonderful that is. You know, even though we're wicked at our nature, God still receives us and forgives us. How great a thought that is. That even at our worst state, we can turn around and still be received by Christ. And I said it earlier, we have a nature as humans to judge people. When they do bad things to us especially, we struggle with forgiveness. But how great of God is it that when we confess our sins, as 1 John puts it, he is faithful and to just to forgive us all our sins. How wonderful that thought is. I can go as far as I want away from God. But the moment I truly repent in my heart and repent to Christ, he'll still receive me and reclaim me and then go out and redeem me. That's awesome. That's really great. I mean, I know as a teenager, you're probably struggling to understand what that all means, but someday it's going to click when your heart is cold, when you feel far away from God. And then maybe by preaching or maybe by Bible reading or just maybe a thought that the Holy Spirit brings to your heart, he begins to melt it. And you feel the guilt that you've had for the sins you've done or for the way your heart was. But always rest in the fact that God still receives the wicked. What does that teach us about being Christ-like? What does that show us? That even though man is bad, and he can be, even though we make mistakes, and we will, even though people you respect and people you look up to, though they wrong you in some way or offend you or hurt you, if we're really Christ-like, there's a forgiveness there, and there's a receiving there. So, I mean, the three lessons that we learned today, first, we see that man, at his nature, he wanders. Christ reclaims the wandering. He goes out and gets them. And then also that we should be the same way. We should be a part in reclaiming lost sinners or wayward hearts and not judgmental. Then we see the story of the lost coin teaches us that sinners, they have worth, they're worthless. Next, we see that Christ, he redeems the worthless. Even though there is no worth there, he brings worth there. And we should do the same. Even though someone's far away, they're or different or are not the same or lives a different way, they still have worth to God and they're still important to God. Lastly, we see from the story of the lost son or the prodigal son, we see man can be pretty wicked, that he can be a wretch. But then we see that Christ, like the Father there, he receives the wretched. He takes him in and forgives him. What does that teach us about being Christ-like? Though man can be bad and real bad, there are things that are happening in your life that you won't explain. There's still something about being a Christian and being Christ-like that will forgive and look past faults. We'll go ahead and pray and be done. If Pastor Donald wants to come up and say something, that's great. He can come on up, and then we'll finish it. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for everything you've given to us, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. I pray you bless it. Bless the hearer today, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Joel, so much for bringing us to a prayer.